Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. So we're here today with Cameron Harlick, Trevor Green, and Andrea Hewson, who we have on a phone call. My name's Andrea Josick, and
I'm Nathan Singh. And today we're going to be discussing police in the gay community and the controversy surrounding police presence. Extra reported last week that, or 2 weeks ago, that Toronto's Gay Village is going to be getting 4 dedicated neighborhood police officers. Critics are saying that increased mental health will support, I guess, this problem, not more police. And I guess, Andrea, you used to work for Extra, and you still are a working journalist. What's your opinion on the police's, having 4 dedicated police to the gay village?
I think that there's multiple sides to this issue, as all issues there are. But I think generally speaking, as queer people, as marginalized people, I think we need less policing, not more. At the very least, I certainly think that any officers who are assigned to neighborhoods with communities that have been historically and are currently discriminated against or even targeted by police, I absolutely support making sure that those officers are trained in sensitivity, in intersectional understandings, the social determinants of health, poverty, certainly trans and queer communities, but also sex working communities, and street communities, drug involved communities. All of these intersection identities are critical to understanding the wider community and to understand the needs and to be able to support them, not as policing, but as part of the community, which is one of the reasons why I like the idea of the officers actually identifying as LGBTQ, and I think that that should be a priority. Another question that I had that struck me was, will the officers be going back and being advocates for the community? Will they be speaking in their department about the issues that the community has been talking about for years, transphobia, transmisogyny, and certainly anti-Black racism? And I think that these are really critical issues that any police officer who's dedicated to the community, I think, should be an advocate for. And I think that's what we have been hearing the community ask for, and I think that that's a critical point that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, critics are saying that the increased mental health supports, having increased mental health support is the solution, not more police. Cameron, do you want to speak on that a little bit about your opinion?
Yeah, I definitely think the issue here isn't that we need more police and that the issue is that we need more social welfare services. When we look at places like the 519, which used to be an amazing resource for folks, which now is very much runs off a capitalist model and doesn't support the community the way it used to, when that's really our only services that's targeted for our communities, what does that mean? And when we look at the Alora Wells case and when we look at the gay men going missing, in the Toronto Village, I don't think the issue is that we need more police. I think it's that, one, the police didn't do anything in the first place. So why does having more police bodies in that space mean safety? And two, looking at a lot of the issues and we're seeing folks face that violence isn't necessarily because folks are coming into the village because they know that's where queer folks are. Queer folks are everywhere in Toronto. And just having officers there isn't going to solve the problem. It's about unpacking transphobia and sexism and homophobia in our communities, and I don't think that's what the police do. I think they uphold those beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Trevor, would you like to comment?
I think that the 4 police officers are a good idea in that the force is offering a sort of olive branch. I don't want to come across as an apologist for the police, but I think as long as these police officers are trained on how to deal with the queer community, I think they will be an asset. And it's not just the gay village that they're being assigned to. It's also Jamestown, which is about, I think the population is about 20,000 people. And we can't forget that the crime rate is very high there because it is one of those neighborhoods that are riddled with problems, social welfare, all sorts of problems. And so the police are also there. But I think that before we the queer community criticizes them too much, we should see how these officers interact with the community and then jump to conclusions. There are many gay officers and lesbian officers and queer officers. And I think this is an opportunity for them.
I think one of the main conversations going on is the, police not doing enough for the LGBT community, or not taking some LGBT abuse people going missing as seriously as cis folks. Just yesterday, police confirmed that the body found in the Rosedale Ravine was identified as trans woman Alora Wells. Police began looking for Wells on November 8th, more than 3 months after she went missing in July.
And they also, the police knew that she was missing, right? Mm-hmm. They had got a report the day after she went missing, and they said that they weren't going to launch a missing persons report. That wouldn't happen if it was a white cis woman. It was a black trans woman who also happened to be a sex worker. And that's why, in my belief, is why we don't see this happening. And this isn't a Toronto epidemic, right? If we look at cases like Robert Picton of sex workers going missing, 49 women died before the police knew, and they had multiple tips. And when we add the added layer of marginalization that it's a trans women in America have a life expectancy of around 34 years of age. Mm-hmm. It's not very different in Canada. And I don't think more police solves that issue, because as a trans person and as an Indigenous person and a Two-Spirit person, I've never felt comfortable with the police. That's not what's going to help us. What's going to help us is that education work that allies need to be doing, and it's not a matter of we need more police, it's a matter of we need people to respect and care about our bodies.
Because I guess having four dedicated policemen for the gay village may cater to some people within the LGBT community, but other people may feel unsafe with the increased police presence in the community.
I just wanted to add, because I know you mentioned that there are gay, lesbian, trans, queer police officers in general, but where are they? Like, in these situations, where are they? And, where are they appointed? Are they going to be the dedicated police officers? And I just wanted to know a little bit more about that, Trevor, if you knew.
Well, I can't speak to that, because they haven't, I don't think they are present in the village yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, I think we should give the police officers a chance before we jump to conclusions. But of course, I think we have to look at a historical background. The police have had a problematic relationship with the Canada in general, not just the queer community. It wasn't until 1984 when CSIS came into being. The RCMP used to be not only the police but also the military intelligence, and so I think this is. I think there is reason for the public to be wary of the police in many ways, but this is the reality of the situation, and I think we should give them a chance.
So I think it's really important that we not lose sight of, and as has been mentioned, I mean, this is World AIDS Day, and it was only a year ago that we had that horrible inflammatory comment from an uninformed, untrained police officer who said that saliva to a person would actually give them the virus. This is a blatant gap in the knowledge. I'm not, we shouldn't be demanding this kind of training just for these four dedicated police officers who would come to the village and surrounding areas. And this is basic understanding that all police officers have. So, until we rectify these very obvious gaps that are, consistently being shown, I'm not sure if I'm ready to give kudos to the police for suggesting that queer cops, patrol the gay village. It seems too premature with all that's gone on recently.
Mm-hmm.
And Cameron, you have something to say?
Yeah, just two things real quick. Also, I think we have to look at that queer and trans and lesbian and gay officers still aren't the same as an average queer trans citizen. For me, as a queer and trans person, one of the things about police violence that I fear the most is that violence in my queer, Indigenous, trans body. If you are an officer, you're not going to be worried about police violence because you're the person issuing that violence. So that power imbalance is still evident, and it doesn't matter that they're queer or trans. You're still in that position of power where you can inflict violence on your community's bodies. Also, when we talk about giving the police chances, we've been giving the police chances for years. People have been telling the police to stop killing black trans bodies and black queer bodies for years and black bodies, and they haven't. Just last summer, the police thought a great installation to show their acceptance was to put a mural in the Church Street Public School of a black hand holding a police sign that happened to be supposed to be a queer, trans-presenting sign. When one, you're capitalizing off black people's bodies in this mural, when the LGBT officer who's in charge of LGBT issues for the TPS right now is a white woman, what are you doing? You're using black bodies to be trendy. also, when you go to a protest, and Black Lives Matter is there, I was really lucky to be a part of that demonstration protesting that mural, and the police laugh at little Black kids as young as 4 years old holding a sign that their lives matter. Those are the officers that came to that mural that are supposed to be queer identifying officers. When a lesbian officer at that threatened to physically assault me in front of multiple people, that was me giving the Toronto police an opportunity to show their allyship, and they didn't. They just wanted that Black, trendy, queer hand up there to look good, and that's all they've done for us, in my opinion.
So as a queer person that is of a minority group, what do you want to see instead of these four police officers dedicated to the community?
I think, well, police in general just need to stop killing people. That would be what I would like to see. Also, I think it needs to talk about what does community care look like and what does community protection look like and why have we moved away from models of community protection? And it goes back to having resources and counseling for queer and trans folks to cope with the amount of violence that they face. Having meaningful protection services for queer and trans folks when they're going through systems of abuse. Having enough stay out of the cold shelters in the winter when trans sex workers and trans homeless folks and queer homeless folks don't have a place to go. Because people aren't dying because the police aren't there. People are dying because they don't have the services they need to survive.
Yes, because I guess the reason for the police presence is because in community meetings in the past year, many residents in the church in Wellesley Village have said that they feel less safe because of the missing and murdered people within the village or that used to live in the village. There has been an increase in robberies, more homophobic and transphobic comments when they're walking home. So I guess, is the police the answer? I guess, having police presence in the village the answer to solving this or at least helping this? And if not, what is?
Just to add on to that, I wanted to know that, like, the police, the idea of a police officer is someone that you can turn to, someone that you can call in, like, any times of danger. So now, at this point where police are not that anymore, people are afraid of police. So who do queer people turn to? Who do people in the LGBTQ community turn to when they need that support and when they need that help when they're in danger?
I think who we've always turned to. The police have never been a safe space, maybe for white queer folks recently, but it hasn't been a safe space for anyone else ever. So I think we turn to who we know who to turn to best, and that's our chosen family. That's the queer community that we choose to surround ourselves with. And if we haven't had the opportunity to meet those folks yet, and younger queers who maybe haven't had that opportunity yet, it's just kind of holding on knowing that you are going to meet those people who will keep you safe and value your identity one day. And to answer your question, Nathan, no, I don't think that police are going to solve that. Something that I think could solve that is the city offering more education trainings or mandatory education trainings to public servant officers, having workplaces have stricter equity trainings, and having equity trainings that are accessible for folks who don't know the lingo yet, and that folks feel comfortable accessing these spaces, right? Because oftentimes when we have social justice and activist spaces, it can be really intimidating for folks who don't have that information to come in and learn. So I think it looks like having meaningful education that folks feel like they can access who maybe haven't heard the language before, and just being open to that. And I think that city councilors, I'm sure, could find funding for that somewhere. Working with student unions to do public education. Like, I wouldn't mind doing an equity training for public folks. I don't think I'd be the best person, but the city could invest to find activists who do this work, like folks like Janaya Khan or Rodney Deverloo or all these amazing community activists who know the lingo that can help people. Because it's not about not being surveilled. It's about people not caring enough about queer and trans bodies.
Thank you so much. So now as we're approaching the final minutes of our podcast, I was just looking to see any final thoughts from everyone. I guess we'll start with you, Andrea. Anything else to add on or to say just as we close off the podcast?
I mean, I nothing really to add, except that, just to pick up from all the really excellent comments, it is historically been the chosen family, it's been the community, and having support grounded in community, whether or not officers are stationed to the village. I think, really supporting community efforts, community groups, getting involved in activist groups, and really getting involved in your community is the best way to support one another.
Thank you. Trevor?
I hope that the police, the Toronto police, will, as they move forward, will continue to repair their relationship with the queer community, and that even more resources will be put into the missing men that have gone, and women and trans women that have gone missing over the past years, and that the relationship of the LGBTQ community and the officers will somehow be able to move forward in a less fraught way.
Yeah, I think I said most like everything that I wanted mm-hmm. to say, but I think it just kind of like just remembering Alora Wells in this conversation and seeing that like having more police in that village wouldn't have helped her. The police hid up details about her missing and hid up details about her death. So I think like it's unfortunate time and time again when we see community members dying. And the police could have done something and didn't. And I don't think that's because they weren't there. I think it's because they don't care. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much to everyone.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for being here. I just wanted to dedicate this podcast to Alora Wells, who, like I want to reiterate, yesterday was confirmed to be the woman that was found in the Rosedale Ravine a couple months ago. Thank you all for being here again.
Yeah. All the best to everyone. Thank you.
They didn't.